How's it going, Owls fans? This is Matt Teen Rad from KSU Athletics, and you're about to listen to a special interview with KSU women's golf coach Real Brinsmead. Make sure to keep up with the women's golf team right here on our Twitter as the Owls head to Orlando for the UCF Challenge from Sunday, February 2nd to Tuesday, February 4th. Now, let's get on with the show.
No other team has the international diversity on campus that this team has. With so many people coming from so many different places, how do you think that helps the cohesion of the team and how they get along?
Yeah, so in recruiting athletes from my team, you know, we look all over the world for them. We've had great success with players from Thailand and players from France and just different ethnic and social backgrounds. And I think when you have such an eclectic mix of young women, when you put them in a setting of a team like this, it just really creates a great team atmosphere in that the majority of the team is away from home.
Right.
So this becomes a family. You know, and myself, I'm away from home as well. I've been gone for 20 years, but still my family is in Australia.
Right.
So one of my goals with my team is to create a real family sense so that when they come on recruiting visits and their parents visit, and when they finally get on campus, they feel at home because the homesickness is a real thing.
Right.
So it's really important that I sort of have a mantra that happy people play good golf.
Yeah.
So it's really important to my team that they feel happy. And I think a real sense of happiness for any young people is feeling inclusion and a real family atmosphere. So that's sort of at the heart of what we aspire to be on this team.
I'm so glad you touched on, you know, the recruitment process. I was curious myself on how that process works. Mm-hmm. I mean, we have players from like four different continents.
Right.
So
yeah, you know, I love recruiting. You know, our summer times are spent sort of evaluating during season where we want to be and who's going to be sort of that player we focus on. Obviously, we have a small roster as the majority of golf teams across the nation do. So in handpicking the athletes we're going to bring in, it's important that they're only obviously great golfers, but good people and well-rounded athletes. So I'll evaluate throughout the year, and then the summers are really spent targeting who we want and traveling to a lot of international events and watching them. And then the fall, you know, official visits, whether they've committed verbally or not, before the signing period in November. So it's sort of, you know, 5-6-7-stop process to get them to the signing period. And then beyond the signing period, actually getting them here on campus, because there's a lot that goes on with the visas and the immigration side of it. So it's a lot to it, but it's well worth it, because the great thing about the athletes we do have on campus is they're coming a long way. So there's a real commitment to being here and to committing to the process and following through. So, but it's fun. I really enjoy the recruiting side of it. Because when you do have a small roster, we're with them every day, all day. So you get to know them intimately, and it's important that we have people that want to be here.
Once you found a player that you're interested in, how does a lot of that communication process work? Because I imagine it's difficult, especially when someone doesn't speak the same language.
Yeah, it's changed a lot over the years. You know, back when I first started at Kennesaw State, you know, 13 years ago, email was, you know, really the main means of communication. And now, honestly, it's social media, you know, Instagram chat, and our main source of communication with most of the internationals is WhatsApp.
Yeah,
because it's a function that's used all over the world,
right?
And it doesn't require international fees and that sort of thing. So a lot of the communicating we do now is either through the apps and then FaceTime.
Do you guys work with, like, translators or something
like
that?
No, they can speak English. The majority of them have a really solid foundation of English. You know, one thing that other countries do really well is learn English at a really young age. So while some are better than others, and obviously for them to be qualifiers per the NCAA, they have to have a level of English that they've taken the core English classes.
Oh, okay.
So the majority of them coming in, and they have to pass the SAT and the TOEFL test, which is an English test they have to take to get into universities.
Some kind of like standardized test.
It's a standardized English test, and it's taken on a computer. It's not an NCAA requirement, but it's a university requirement. And then different universities have different levels you have to hit to get in. So you know, there's some growing pains with the getting them to understand the process.
Right.
And I'll be honest, I've sometimes used, you know, Clara, for example, speaks multiple languages. So I'll be like, hey, Clara, can you just explain to Elise that I need this document in this form? So, you know, we've used, you know, different players along the way. Or, you know, if I brought another Thai player coming in, hey, just let them know that I got this document and next step is this. So
those Belgians always speak like 5 or 6 different languages. So.
Majority of the European players are coming in with at least 3 languages, which is impressive.
It makes
you feel a bit inadequate.
Now, the international representation, mm-hmm. as you touched on earlier, doesn't end with the players. I mean, you coming from Australia, do you think it's easier for you to coach a group of players where, you know, this isn't home from them either?
Yeah, I mean, one thing that, you know, we do a lot of, because this is my family as well, you know, I tell the parents through the recruiting process, you know, I spend so much time with them, I need to like them as much as they need to like me.
Absolutely.
And, you know, a lot of what we do is, you know, every Friday night I have the team over to my house for dinner after we qualify or after we play, and they know my kids and my partner, and, you know, I know their parents and their siblings, and it's just a piece of it that's really important to me, not just from a professional standpoint, but a personal standpoint,
right.
In that they become really close-knit. So, you know, I've been gone so long, you know, it's been 20 years now. I've lived in America longer than I've lived in Australia,
right.
When I think about it, but it's still home, you know what I mean? It's
absolutely.
It's still that balance of really both. And, you know, even my players who have been here, Claire is a fifth-year senior. She gets homesick all the time. So even
imagine.
Though this is where they are for big chunks of the period, they still miss home, and it's just nice to know they can look to somebody and say, man, I miss my mum and dad today.
Exactly.
And honestly, you know, sometimes they'll, you know, we have a no phone policy at practice, and sometimes, you know, they'll be like, coach, I just need to, with the time change, I just need to call mum and dad because they're going to bed, you know.
Right.
It's just having rules and regulations are great, but sometimes you just have to say, hey, just take a moment, and, you know, or you can leave practice early and go and FaceTime them, all that type of thing. So I think it's just having that awareness of, you know, the different time zones and that sort of thing, and that just knowing that it's when they're homesick, like, it's not that they want to leave, they just
right.
need to just take a moment and
they need to get their
fill
in.
Yeah, for sure.
Now, when you talk about how almost personal relationship that you build with your teammates, and is that something that you consider in the recruitment process as well?
Yeah, for sure. So I know that recruiting has changed a lot over the past, you know, 5 years especially, in that official visits came somewhat of a null point. You know, so many recruits in different sports are making commitments the summer prior to their senior year, which before, you know, a lot of the athletes used to make their 5 official visits and then make a decision.
Right.
A lot of them are committing way before that we can even get them on campus. So obviously those rules have changed and they can come in as juniors now. And I just think the official visit is a really important part of the recruiting process, because sometimes, I'll admit I did it. I committed to the university that I went to initially, sight unseen, and wasn't happy, and I transferred out of there. So having had that experience, I really try and encourage my recruits to just come on campus, you know, and they'll be ready to make a verbal commitment. And I've had the 2 freshmen coming in next year, both verbally committed, and I still brought them onto campus because I want them to meet my team. You know what I mean? Like,
right.
I don't want the first time they meet their teammates to be the first day they're in college and be like, you know, wow, because recruiting is a little bit like, you know, used car sales. Like, you tell them all about the glamour, and then you don't really tell, you know, there's a lot that goes on that's the nitty gritty of it. Whereas if they get on campus, you can say, here's this and here's this and here's the housing. And the great thing about Kennesaw State is the things that I think are really important to young people these days, like facilities and housing. We have the best in the business, you know, the housing, 4-bedroom, 4-bathroom on campus units, like there's things like that in the dining hall. So I say to my athletes, like, if you're being pressured into committing to a university sight unseen,
right,
you might want to think about, do they not want you to see something?
Yeah, absolutely.
So I'm a big fan of official visits, and I always will be. You know, I think it's just it's part of the process, and it's there for a reason. So
absolutely.
Yeah.
Now the team competes against the best in the country every season, and you achieve to a higher standard every season. What's the next benchmark that you'd like to accomplish for this team?
Yeah, so last year we got we got as high as 32 in the rankings. I want to get top 25 in the nation. You know, with golf, top 50 in golf stat. I know it sounds funny, but when you look at the golf stat, it gets you the little number next to your name, a ranking number.
Yeah.
That's a big part of it, and that was a goal we set, and we got there. And the next thing for me is I want to be top 25, because when you think about, I think, you know, football, FBS or basketball, you know, that top 25 ranking is really considered like the mecca.
It's the standard. Yeah.
It's the standard. So I want to get there, because I think people who don't know golf can look at rankings and go, oh, no, that's good. Like, right. I get that. Because sometimes what people don't understand is when you finish fifth or sixth in a really good tournament, it's not fifth. It feels like a win sometimes. So yeah. Last year we finished fifth at UCF's tournament to start the spring. And for us, it was like, it felt like a win. So you can finish fifth, but it still is as good as, you know, as those who finished, you know, just barely above you. So it's all about quality wins and losses in golf. You can lose to a team by two strokes, like say a Vanderbilt, and it's as good as a win mm-hmm. because the score differential and the way they do the ranking system. So when we're scheduling, it's really important that every time we compete, we're competing against those that are ranked above us or around us, because the quality wins and losses will drive you up. So in the springtime, every week we'll get a chance to compete against really highly ranked teams.
Yeah.
And if we can play the way I know that we're capable of, we'll pick up some really good wins and our ranking will improve. So it's a real numbers game with golf, in that we don't play a conference schedule. So we get to be invited and the better you play the previous year, the better events you right. get in. And women's golf doesn't have the 500 rule like the men. So we can really just go all into tournaments that are really like elite company and not have to worry about falling below 500. So it's in the off season, it's a lot of calling in, like, you know, wait lists, and, you know, we were ranked this. And because Kennesaw State, you know, we've gotten better from name recognition, but we're still not like, we're still a mid-major. We're still not the Power Five.
I agree with you. Yeah.
You know what I mean? So it's about selling yourself and letting these teams know that maybe haven't heard of you, hey, look what we've done.
Right.
So,
you know, more specifically, the UCF Challenge last year was a record-breaking day for you guys.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, in terms of, you know, finishing in the top five,
yeah.
setting records, how do you look to best that performance this year?
You know, golf's, you know, really fun in that... in that you can't control what anybody else is doing, right? So let's say, hypothetically, UCF goes out and shoots 10 under and we shoot 5 under. So we've had a great day, they've had a better day, but it's not like you can run defense against what they're doing
exactly.
or that we should have had a different game plan. So all you can really do in preparation is prepare your athletes the best you can, you know, through your practices and your qualifying, and then when we get there after the practice round, just go out and do your thing. And with a young team like we have, there's a lot of emphasis going into these tournaments that you just focus on yourself. Like, if your playing partners are 3 under through 3 holes, like, you don't have to go out and like beat them, just play the golf course
right.
and do your best. And then when we add up the scores at the end of the day, that's what it is. And if we lose by 1 or lose by 10, there's nothing you really would have done differently, because we can't control what anybody else is doing.
Yeah.
So and we've got a good sort of, Clara as a fifth year senior has been through it all. So it's nice to sort of have her take when she talks to them about, like, you know, when we go to these tournaments, as I said, like, you can finish eighth and be like, oh, it's eighth. But like, you have to look at it and go, well, no, this was, we beat X, Y, and Z, and that's going to help us move up. So, you know, every sort of event this spring is sort of just like a stepping stone to the conference championship, and our goal
right.
is to be ranked high enough that we're making postseason play regardless of whether we win or lose. You just don't want to be in a situation where you have to win the tournament to get through. So a ranking of 50 or better at that point guarantees you postseason. And then obviously, you know, as we've done the last 2 years, is you win the conference championship, sort of the icing on the cake.
Right.
So that's sort of as our goal as we get through season.
You know, Clara, I'm glad you brought her up, because she's exactly who I want to talk about next.
Yeah.
You know, there hasn't been a lot of team captains in this program's history.
Yeah.
And you named her for her last season
yeah.
team captain. You know, she's starting some of her last collegiate tournaments. You
mm-hmm.
know, for someone who's accomplished so much like her, what are you looking from her for these last tournaments.
Yeah, I mean, Clara's golfing story doesn't end in May. You know, we and she have aspirations for her to be professional. So what we're doing right now is not only prepping her for the spring season, but prepping her for beyond Q school, which would be, you know, at the end of summer. So, you know, I've had players before, and they've been honest, like, you know, college golf is the pinnacle of that, and they wanted to go on to other professional careers in, you know, what do they do, marketing or sport management and that type of thing. But Clara has aspirations beyond. So it's really fun to sort of work with a player right now that this isn't the end.
Yeah.
So, and she's well aware that she has to play the best going forward to, like, get through Q school and that sort of thing. So, you know, our focus for her is right now just to keep having fun with it, because that's important. But she's so personally motivated that, you know, we have Saturdays off, and I'm pretty sure she put in like 5 hours on. Eric texted me and said, you know, Clara's here, and she just left, and it was like 5 hours. And, you know, it's that type of thing where it's like, wow, you know, it's, you know, the golf courses are closed on Mondays.
Yeah.
So my athletes, you know, practice at the indoor and then get their study hours done. And she spent all yesterday afternoon, you know, at a golf course that was closed.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's those little bits that she does that, you know, and I don't expect the rest of the girls to be following her out there, but it's just sort of that action over words. She doesn't say a lot, but it's like she does enough that...
Leads by example.
Exactly. So
do you think that your relationship with Clara personally and professionally ends with her last games here?
No, absolutely not. You know, you know, Charlotte just graduated, and, you know, we message all the time, and Dulcie just got through, you know, status on the LET, and Innes, you know, she graduated, God, 3 or 4 years ago, and it's just, you know, we don't talk every day, but it's just, even these alumni, it's just, you know, watching what they're doing, and that's the great thing about social media these days, is you can keep up with people and not talk to them for months, but know exactly what they're doing. So
that's how I feel about my family.
It's a blessing and a curse, you know, in that regard, but, you know, we're going to keep supporting Clara, you know, going forward, and, you know, our connections, you know, the university that we've made, you know, she's done such a good job representing the university, that she's made the friends of the program are going to keep up with her, and that's going to benefit her as she graduates and moves on. So she has taken full advantage of the college experience, you know, in the classroom and, you know, in the community, in that she's well known to the people who support our program, want to keep supporting Clara in that regard. So,
Alizi, new to the team.
Yeah.
She's joining the team this semester. What qualities does she bring to the dynamic?
Yeah, experience. Yeah, she's, what's neat is she's 18, but she, you know, she can appear much older. She has played an extensive international resume while also representing, you know, the French national team. She played the European Championship this past summer in Spain, and just has extensive experience. So she was really highly recruited, could have gone to a lot of different places, and chose Kennesaw State, and we had that sort of French connection here, and she loves it. She's just one of those people that everything is cool, like, wow, this is cool, you know, everything's new.
So yeah,
the freshmen bring this great sort of spirit to the team, so to have one joining the spring sort of renews that energy. So it's a lot of fun right now just watching her just get into the rhythm.
Early on, how has she adapted to the team?
Yeah, really well. She's a really friendly, outgoing personality. You know, asks a lot of questions, and, you know, she makes us laugh, you know, with the things that she's sort of adapting to. So it's been a good connection, and, you know, we encourage our athletes not to speak their native language to each other. So Clara and Meva both speak French.
Mm.
But it's also helpful when she has some questions and they can sort of explain in French, and then, oh, okay, now I get it a little bit more.
Yeah.
So it's been good to sort of help with transition.
Coach, I think that's all I have for you.
Awesome.
I really appreciate your time. Thank you.
You appreciate it.
Hey, thanks for listening. Once again, this is Mateen Rad for KSU Athletics. And make sure to check out the Women's Golf Twitter for any new and exclusive content.